This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Welcome back, my brother.
All right.
How are you doing?
Yeah, praise the Lord, brother. Having a wonderful day and a good week so far. I am blessed. How are you doing?
Oh man, I'm doing great. Glad to be here with you today. Feeling pretty good, folks. Welcome aboard. We're excited to be here today and kick off this live marathon with our good friend Pastor John Gogan. Today is Wednesday, April 24, 2024, for the archive. And Brother John, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Of course, it would be an honor for me to do that, and I really appreciate it when we are able to pool our faith, brother, and invite those who are listening to also pool their faith so that we can boldly, as Hebrews says, go before the throne of grace in the time of need, the time of trouble. Praise the Lord. Let's do that. Father, we come to you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. And our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we come unto you. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who is within each one of us, who are truly born again. And Lord God, if there's one who is listening and is, as you see them, religious, but spiritually lost and dead in their sins, or as I like to put it, lost as a white goose in a snowstorm, we pray that your Holy Spirit will touch their minds and hearts, that something will be said that will quicken their conscience, and that they will come to salvation. The only way to you, Father, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray your blessings upon the listeners tonight. We bind the strong man afresh and anew, not only within them, but also within Brother Shannon, within myself. Every demon down to the lowest and right power and form, we bind you tightly in chains and fetters of iron and barbed wire freshly dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels, make it painful. Let them never forget that we know how to use the weapons of our warfare by the grace of God and in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also bind the strongman over every country represented. We bind every demon in the second heavens, first heavens, on the earth, under the earth, and within people. And Father, we break ungodly soul ties between us. We break ungodly, unhealthy soul ties between the listeners and anyone that is trying to dominate them contrary to the will of God and word of God. And just bless our time in the word. May we leave this broadcast better than we came in. And we petition every one of these requests in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, my friend, and the mic is yours. Welcome back.
Thank you, Brother Shannon. I really, really appreciate you. Appreciate your family. Appreciate the sacrifices that are made to make this broadcast possible. We've known each other for many, many years. And I praise God for that, for intersecting our lives, intersecting our paths during this sojourn here on earth. Compared to eternity, as James says, like a steam vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to begin at verse 16. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, if you have your Bibles there, if you are able to turn in the Word of God, please do so. I always say, you don't go to school, you don't go to class without a text. Bring your texts with you. And you don't go to church and you don't have Bible studies without Bibles. Now again, if you've got a pad, you know, a notebook or an iPad or something, perfect, or your cell phone, perfectly fine. But have the Word of God available to you in print, in black and white, hard copy if possible. I like hard copy. None of us knows when we may lose the internet for a season. None of us knows what is ahead. But we remain confident and we remain responding in confident trust, in faith, with whatever God has in store, that he has already put his stamp, placed his stamp of approval on it. And he's allowing it to make us better and not bitter. 2 Timothy chapter 4, obviously this is Paul the Apostle, ultimately the Holy Spirit through Paul the Apostle, in his second epistle. I remember some young Christians were given a quiz, and one of the questions on the quiz was, what is an epistle? And of course, these were very young kids, and one of them took a guess and said, an epistle is the wife of an apostle. Very astute for the answer, because the words kind of sound alike. They're phonetically similar, except the answer was wrong. An epistle is just one big word for letter. All of us have written letters, you know, maybe emails, texts, and maybe an actual letter. Although, you know, snail mail letters definitely have diminished over the years because of instant communication with texting especially. But the Apostle Paul, whose spiritually adopted son in the faith was Timothy. Timothy. I think in Greek it's Timotheus. And Paul writes this second letter to him as he is pastoring the church in Ephesus. Not an easy place to pastor a church. Tons of opposition that the devil and his demons drummed up, ginned up, I guess you could say. Paul is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, trying to guide this young Timothy, this young pastor. And he's writing a second epistle, as I said, a second letter, to young Timothy. It's only four chapters. Not long. Rather brief. But jam-packed full of truth. Timothy was a faithful man of God. Would that we all be as faithful as Timothy was. Paul treasured him. And you know this by his introduction. If Paul has nothing good to say, as in Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there's a reason for that. But Timothy, and by the way, 2nd Corinthians is really 3rd Corinthians, the Holy Spirit did not see fit to preserve Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. And when you read it carefully, you can find that he wrote a letter prior, a second letter prior. But we have both epistles and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Again, tremendous truths there. You can almost walk away from it with the lesson how not to conduct your Christian life. Because Paul had a reprimand. You know, there's a reason why in his first epistle to Corinth, and we'll get back to 2 Timothy in a second, but his first epistle to the church at Corinth, there's a reason why he's got an entire chapter on agape love. Because the church at Corinth had the gifts of the Spirit down, but they didn't have the fruit of the Spirit. And friend, let me tell you that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in my opinion, is more important than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but you're under demonic power doing it, and we've run into false tongues, false prophecy, false words of knowledge. For every true spiritual gift, you can put the word false in front of it. Where the demons have, the religious spirits, very dangerous by the way, have counterfeited the genuine gifts of the Spirit. But for me, I'd rather have the fruit than the gifts. Obviously, both are optimum. Or optimal. You want both. And that's the reason Paul, the apostle, wrote under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit and said what he said. Now, we know that Paul was very pleased with the conduct of young Timothy, his spiritual acolyte, his spiritual son in the faith. Look how he begins 2 Timothy. And this is the word of God, just the first couple of verses. Paul, and that's his Greek name, his Gentile name, his Hebrew name, birth name was Saul in Hebrew, Shaul. But he says Paulos in the Greek, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, Messiah Yeshua is what that means, by the will of God, and when Paul means God, Paul says God, he usually means God the Father, by the will of God the Father, according to the promise of life in God's Son, Jesus Christ. He reverses it. He puts the title first, Messiah, Yeshua. And then he directs who he's writing to. To Timotheus, my beloved son. Obviously not physical son. Timothy's biological father was a Greek. His mother was a Jewess. But to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. Say that with me. Grace, mercy, and peace. Say it again, please. Grace, mercy, and peace. Have you ever wondered or maybe even asked yourself why he puts it in that order? Why he says it in that specific order? And he does it intentionally. Grace, mercy, and peace. The reason, I believe, is because grace and mercy always precedes peace. If you want peace in your life, you must do as the Lord Jesus instructs us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, what is classically known as the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, Jesus gave that same information. He spoke more than once, this sermon, in other venues. And one of the specific things that he points to is the blessing, Makarios, that comes through what? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What did he mean by that? Blessed are those who realize that spiritually they are bankrupt before God. Oh, if you took their human good, remember there are two kinds of good, divine good and human good. If you took their human good and compared it with another human being, yeah, they may get an A+, may get a B+, may even get a C+. Compared to God, we all flunk. We all fail morally and ethically. And of course, Paul essentially tells us that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. And notice he says all. He means all human beings, all who are descended from Adam have sinned. We're sinners by nature. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And there is a difference. We sin easily because that's our nature. That is the bent, if you will, that we are given from our parents, by our parents, on the human level, as human beings. And it is only when Christ enters the picture that he begins to change that. All have sinned and fallen short of God's batting average of 1,000. That's what Paul is saying there. Therefore, all of us, what? Need grace and mercy before we can have peace with God. We need mercy. You remember the parable. What an excellent storyteller Jesus was. Now, the parables were pure fiction. You know it's not a parable because personal pronouns, names are given. That's not a parable. Those are true narratives, true accounts. So in Luke 16, with the description of Hades, which is different from hell, by the way, the lake of fire, Gehenna, when Jesus describes Lazarus and the rich man, that's a story. That's not a parable. That happened. It really happened. It was the truth. It wasn't a fiction. It wasn't fictitious. It was not a parable. Technically, biblically. And don't be in confusion on that. So Paul is writing Timothy, Pastor Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace. He's blessing him, people. He's doing the opposite of cursing him. He wouldn't curse him anyway. But he's wishing him, wanting him to be blessed with grace, mercy, and peace. And when we welcome and joyfully receive grace and mercy, the result is peace. Peace with God. And then with deliverance and healing. And living submitted lives to the Lordship of Christ. Guess what? We have peace of God. Peace with God comes to salvation when it's genuine, and the peace of God comes post-salvation through obedience. And I love the verse. Maybe you haven't memorized it. Maybe you have. It's an excellent, outstanding verse in the Psalms. Psalm 37:4. I hope you know it. Delight yourself in the Lord, in Yahweh, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, yeah. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Men and women of God, when we find our delight in the triune God of Israel, in the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, or in our Heavenly Father, guess what? Every desire of our heart is a godly and a good desire. And we can obey it, we can do it with no questions, no reservations, because we're delighting ourselves in the God of Israel, in the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the desires we find in our hearts that come up to the surface, guess what? They are godly and Christ-like. Never have to question them. And notice, by the way, it's grace and peace, Pastor Timothy, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's one of the reasons I always differentiate and keep distinct within the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy. Why? Because what Paul did. It's all over the place. He always distinguishes between God and between the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his pattern. In his 13 epistles, 13 letters that he wrote. Let's see if the Lord tarries and 2,000 years from now, we're reading your emails that you wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's how significant Paul was. Again, I've always said that he was the second greatest Christian of all time, next to Jesus himself. The greatest, number one. Now, let's go back to chapter 4. Having seen the commendation and recommendation and the confidence that Paul the Apostle had in his spiritual son. Now, don't misunderstand me. Timothy was not perfect, no more than we are. He was a human being saved by grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of God the Father. But what a man of God, young man of God, when Paul first met him, knew him, and what a person to emulate. You know, there are people looking up to you right now, and you don't even know it. There are people that God has brought into your sphere of influence, and they admire you. They recognize you as their spiritual, mature brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord, if you're a female. It may be a family member. It may be someone in school, one of your classmates. Maybe a teacher, maybe a professor. Who knows? I would recommend watching. And I don't know if it's in a book form to read, but it's definitely in the movies. I think it's God Is Not Dead. I think it's 1, 2, and 3. I know there are at least 2 because I've seen them both. There may have been a 3rd one that came out. But very compelling. Extremely compelling. And you know, a lot of times when people hate Christians or hate Christianity or hate the Bible, hate what we represent, the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation, deliverance, and healing, Mark 16:15 and following. They hate it because they got hurt by someone. They hate it a lot of times because of a parent or both parents that weren't consistent witnesses. They hate it because of an event, maybe an early death, you know, when they were 6 years old, one of their parents died, and they couldn't understand why. And they blamed God. You know, I recommend blaming the devil. It could have been a curse of death sent against them, or curses of death. They had some open doors, and maybe in their bloodlines, or through Freemasonry, or only the Lord knows. It's amazing how much God gets blamed for, and he never did. So, all that to say that Paul saw Timothy as someone worth emulating. And daily ask yourself the question, if I had a jury of my peers looking at my life today, let's say it's the early evening, ask yourself, would they have enough evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt to convict me for being a Christian? Or was your life so much like the world that you couldn't tell them apart? People looking at your life could not tell you apart. Are they a Christian? I know they go to church, but they listen to the same things I do. They listen to and repeat some of the same jokes and some of the same, something's incongruous here. Never let it be said of you. Let's pick it up at verse 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. And this is the word of God. Paul says, at my first defense, when he was standing trial because of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Is this sad or what? At my first defense, he's in court. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. Do you know how many hundreds and maybe even thousands of people Paul helped and administered to by this time? He spoke in decent numbers of crowd gatherings. And I believe he spoke with passion. When you're talking of God's word and things of the scriptures, do you speak with compassion? Do you speak with passion? Do you talk as if you believe it? Because it's true. We don't believe it and make it true. It is true. Therefore, we believe it. That's what a wise person does. But how sad that Paul had no one fearless and loving him to the point where they stood beside him, even if it was off with his head and off with their head. They didn't care. No one. Underline that in your scriptures. No one. Circle that. No one. Highlight that. No one. But all deserted me. Every person that he knew ran from him. Sounds like the Lord Jesus at his arrest. All the disciples fled. All the genuine ones, 11 of them. They all fled. Except Peter, and then he, as Jesus had prophesied, denied he even knew him. Cowards. I don't know what I would have done, but I would have hoped that I would have stood by Paul and said, Paul, whatever they do to you, they're going to do to me, because I can't sleep at night knowing that you're standing alone. I'm with you. I'll be your prayer partner. I'll support you. And of course, Paul, in his very gracious way, concludes the verse, may it not be counted against them. Paul wasn't looking for vengeance. Paul wasn't raising his hand and shaking his fist in the air. I hope God gets him. Hope he gets him good. No, he's asking just the opposite, for blessing on them. And people, this is why we don't return curses on the heads of the sending demons. We don't return curses against people, human beings. We return them against the demons that are energizing these people, as Ephesians 6 says. For we wrestle not, the Greek says, against blood and flesh, against human bodies, human beings, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places that are running these people that are against us. You know, I guess in a sense, you're the tool of whatever spirit you want to be a tool of. Either a tool of the evil spirits, which all unbelievers are, by the way. Never forget, even though they're a friend of yours and they're very nice to you and they share their food with you or whatever, you know what? Every unbeliever, every non-Christian, every religious person, but spiritually lost person, serves the devil. It's one or the other. I'm surprised at how many Christians think that the unbeliever is basically neutral and, you know, they're probably going to choose Satan. No, they've already made their choice. They're already in his camp. And it's only God's grace and mercy and favor that pulls them out of that camp. And they become born again, reborn a second time spiritually. Never, ever forget that. So Paul was standing trial. Everyone deserted him. He wished them nothing but God's blessings, that God would not count it against them. And look at verse 17. But the Lord stood with me. Circle the B-U-T, significant adversative conjunction. Circle it. The Lord was with me. The Lord was with me. And again, Lord, yeah, Jesus. When he says God, it's usually God the Father. When he says Lord, yeah, it's Lord Jesus. Usually. But the Lord was with me, and he strengthened me. You know that you can actually get the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ when you're in trials, in testings, when you're tribulating, in tribulation? Call out for it. That's why Paul says, what, in Ephesians 6, 10, be strong by lifting weights. Well, you'll get some strength that way, but not the kind of internal strength you need. Be strong by lifting yourself up by your own bootstraps. No, 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 no. You're not going to get far with by doing that, because we all weaken at a certain point, especially when it's really difficult. Paul says, be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out for his strength, sheep of Jesus' pasture. Call out for his strength. That's the way you're going to make it through. I'll never forget a very good pastor friend of mine. Was at one of my workshops, and I said, Pastor Mobley, would you pray with me? He said, I always loved it when we prayed with each other. And he did, and he started coming against spirits of weakness. Spirits of weakness. Demons that will come in and weaken your resolve, weaken your will, weaken your thinking, your mind. They'll weaken your body. You won't feel like getting up and doing much. Across the board, they work on weakening you. Weakening your love for the Lord Jesus. Weakening your prayer life. Whatever they will do, they'll weaken your finances. They'll weaken. That's their job. That's their goal, to weaken you. to get you to the point, and sadly, many go that way, especially those who don't pursue the enemy. As Brother Shannon read last week, you know, you've got to pursue them. Otherwise, they're going to turn on you. God's going to allow it. You've got to go after them. It took me about 4 years, and I'm talking prayer, active, proactive deliverance and healing prayer for the first 4 years, twice a week, 52 weeks a year, as pastor, modeling to the church the way it should be done. Not telling people to get prayer, not talking about demons and the devil all the time, but never hardly getting prayer myself. I'm talking about 52 weeks a year, two services, it's 104 times, and that didn't even count the times when I was in real emergency and needed help. Had to have my wife pray with me. Called a brother on the phone. Hey, pray with me. I'm under a magnanimous attack. Significant attack. Took me about 4 years of that consistently. Even when I felt weak, even when I felt, I don't feel like doing it anymore, I did it anyway. Learn this principle. Took me years to learn. I finally got it. I've taught it for years now in my ministry here at Agape Bible Church, East Aurora, New York. When you feel like it the least is when you need to do it the most. When you feel like it, like doing it the least, is exactly when you need to do it the most. Anything good and godly in your life, do it. And after about 4 years, now about 34 years, still haven't hit the bottom of the well. Probably about 30,000 spirits practicing what I preach and teach. And I would encourage you to do the same. Some of us got a lot of catch-up to do, and you know, I started this in my mid-30s. I'm now in my late 60s. So, just encouraging you, speed things up. Really want it. Go after it. Pursue it. Come after weakness and a bunch of other similar spirits. But the Lord Jesus stood with me, verse 17, and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, you know, the proclamation of the Christ's full gospel, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Remember, he was the apostle. Though Jewish, he was the apostle to the Gentiles that the Lord Jesus called. Knocked him off his high horse, literally, humbled him, and appointed him as an apostle to the Gentiles. That all the Gentiles, the Goyim, might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. It's a metaphor for extreme danger. As in Daniel. Daniel was rescued from the lion's, plural, mouths. God clamped their mouths shut. You remember? You say, well, they had already eaten. No, they used to starve these lions, so they would eat the humans. Tear apart their bodies. Even consume part of the clothes. And we know that these lions were supernaturally kept away from Daniel. Why? How? Well, when they threw the false accusers and their families, they hadn't even hit the floor and the lions were already tearing them apart, devouring them. Not a pretty picture. So Paul was rescued from the lion's mouth. 1 Peter 5:8, a metaphor that Peter, the other another apostle, picks up on is the lion being the devil. The devil prowls, you know the verse. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast. People, we got to be proactively resisting him. Pastor John, I thought we'd just have to get, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 demons out and we'll be all set. Not quite. You're a little short on the number by thousands. And even after you get freedom, you got to walk in it. We got to make right choices. I tell people when you come to the fork in the road, and I remind myself, when you come to the fork in the road, and it's, you know, obey or disobey, you choose obedience. And you're going to find out that the more you choose obedience, that the easier the obedience comes and the victories come in your lives, in my life. I was delivered. You could cross rescued out, although I do like rescue the best. Choice, verb, for deliverance. It means rescued. It means delivered. I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Verse 18 is what I want to close on, is really where I want to put the emphasis on. Look at this promise that we have. As we submit, like the Apostle Paul submitted, choosing obedience more and more, obeying today more than yesterday, obeying tomorrow, more tomorrow than today. Look what he says in verse 18, the Lord, kurios is the Greek word, the Lord will rescue me from every evil work. That's his promise. The Lord, that's your promise. That's my promise. The Lord will rescue us, will deliver us from every evil work. People, no matter what these witches and warlocks, no matter what the Muslims, no matter what the Roman Catholic, no matter what the Satanists, no matter what false teaching systems, witchcraft, the occult, has in store for us, planned to take us out. Remember Isaiah 54:17. That it's not going to prosper. That the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is going to be there for us and to rescue from us. Or rescue us out of whatever the devil has planned. Or through whatever the devil has planned. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work. Underline that. Make out a deposit slip tomorrow morning and put it in the bank. Right in the vault. It's a promise of God. And look at the wonderful hope that we have. And the Lord Jesus, will bring us safely to his, of course, and the Father's, heavenly kingdom. You're going to get there safely. You say, well, I may lose my salvation on the way. You can't. It's a free gift. God has given it to us. Now, if you earn it, and it's not by grace through faith, well, yeah, then he can lose it. Maybe you can commit enough sin that you can overcompensate the good, and yeah, you're forget it. You're in trouble. But that's not what the Bible teaches. See, oh, Pastor John, what if after 20 years of doing everything, all of a sudden they recanted and they walk away from it? Well, what does John say in 1 John, in his first epistle? They prove they were not of us because they left us. If they leave, then that means they never had it to begin with. But they looked so good. I mean, they said everything. They were baptized in water. I was standing next to them when they got tongues. Well, it was false tongues. But they cast out demons. So did Judas. It was because of God's word and his faithfulness that this can happen. And it wasn't because of, it was more in spite of, God overrode and people got some freedom. Because the ideal is those who believe. But don't forget, Judas had a partner. Jesus sent him out two by two, the same thing we should do. And it was because of the other partner, not because of Judas. The Lord Jesus Christ will bring you safely to his heavenly kingdom. And look at how Paul closes the whole shooting match. Look at verse 18, the end of the verse. It would be, if you're writing it down, 18C. They'll divide long verses into A, B, C, D. 18C. To him be the glory forever and ever. And people, this is why we live the Christian life. Because we are created, just as Isaiah says, God says, I created you for my glory. Paul says what? Again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just like Isaiah. Whether for you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything. Salvation, deliverance, and healing is all to the glory of God. Why am I here? To glorify God. Or as I love to quote the Presbyterians back when they were conservative and biblical, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Are you hearing what I said? What the Word of God says? Your ultimate purpose is to glorify God, is to do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Now, if you're here for your own glory, you can do that, but you will not be rewarded for it. You won't be living a fulfilled life. You won't be at peace. You won't have the joy of the Lord to be your strength. recommendation is do exactly as Colossians 3:17 says. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or action, deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Have you noticed when you're thankful? I've noticed when I'm thankful, I'm not complaining and grumbling. And that's why 1 Thessalonians 3:15-18, it's the will of God we give thanks. Tremendous verses that describe the three things that we know are God's will for us. And one of them is giving thanks. And only in faith can you truly from your heart express to God, thank you for this D on my college exam, because I've learned the lesson that I cannot not study, that I must study and prepare. And then pray, God, what I've learned, I loose retentive spirits of retentive mind, the mind of Christ, sound mind into me, and help me to recall, Holy Spirit of God, what I've soundly learned to pass this test well. Be thankful. And you will not regret it. But I love this promise. I close with this in 2 Timothy 4:18. That the Lord, again, 18a, small a, the Lord Jesus will rescue me from every evil work. Whatever the enemy throws at you, the Lord Jesus is going to rescue you. Every evil, no matter what the enemy does through people, even frenemies. You know what I mean by a frenemy? Same problem Joseph had. His own blood brothers sold him into slavery, made money off him, made his life miserable at times. They're called frenemies. Frenemies. We all have them. They just haven't come up to the surface yet. They will. I've learned through the years, the more that you're a pain to the devil and his demons, the more they're going to turn up the pain from their end on you. And it's astounded me. As David says, you know, the guy who broke bread with me in my home, and he was, you know, who told me that he thinks the world of me, all of a sudden is now my enemy. And we haven't even touched on King David and one of his own sons, Absalom. I hope our study tonight has encouraged you. I trust our time in God's Word, as I prayed at the outset, that you would leave this broadcast better than you came in. And it has been a joy. And a real privilege to share God's word with you. If you'd like to, if something blessed you, something challenged you, the Holy Spirit just kind of said, bingo, that's what I want you to work on. Feel free to help us out. Support us. Keep us going. Help us to keep going. You can go to agapebible.net, get a bunch of free things you can listen to, read, study from there. Most importantly, the renunciation prayers as well as the forgiveness prayer. Those have got to be prayed. And they're under the 10 free handouts. I think about mid to about a third down from the top. Free handouts, print. You can print them out. That's the only way you're going to get deliverance and healing. Obviously, being a Christian first. And then renouncing those key areas. And, of course, daily, sometimes hourly, dealing with bitterness and unforgiveness. Matthew 18, 34 and 35. But you can go to the left column, way to the left, and it says contributions. Help us out. You can give online. We really thank you in advance for your kindness and generosity. And, of course, as I always say, remember Brother Shannon Davis and the sacrifices that he, his wife, his family are giving to keep this on the air and the truth being proclaimed. You're appreciated. God bless you. And Lord willing, Lord enabling, we'll see you in May.
Fantastic.
Brother Shannon, thank you so much.
Great word today. What would you like to title this for the archive?
In line with rescued, delivered from every evil work.
Okay, fantastic. And Brother John, give out your contact details one more time. How do people reach you and support your work?
Brother Shannon, thank you so much, because you just reminded me. Also, we have one of the best book rooms available on the internet dealing, getting into the Christians' hands the materials that they need to be full gospel Christians. And you can obtain those materials at agapebiblebr.com. Agape is the word for love. It's the highest form of love. L-O-V-E. Greeks could hardly ever use it because they could never attain it. In fact, we only get it by the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. It's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. Number one fruit, love. Agape Bible, like one word, agapebiblebr.com. If you want to call here at the church office, I do free pastoral counseling. Glad to help you. Glad to pray with you. Whatever we can do to help you grow in Christ. The phone number is 716-655-5008. 716-655-5008. And you can also reach us at the church website, which is agapebible.net. agapebible.net, and that's where you can contribute. You go to the left column to the little mouse pointer and just click on it, and whatever God puts on your heart, again, thank you in advance, and please remember, don't forget Brother Shannon Davis.
Thank you, my friend, for coming on today. Great word, and we'll see you again real soon.
You bet, brother. God bless you and yours, and God bless the listeners. Bye-bye.
Folks, that was John Gogan. Okay, we're going to go and do a program now called Speak My Word, and then at 9 o'clock Eastern, Frank Marzullo. At 10, we're going to have Peter Johnson from the Gold Coast of Australia. Okay, with that, let me say this. We'll be right back.